implementing a modern treaty is an ongoing process that requires regular meetings, careful management of relationships, good process, and a commitment to true collaboration. When disputes can't be resolved any other way, the courts decide. Every 5 years or so, modern treaty signatories meet to revisit the treaty and resolve any unforeseen issues. These implementation reviews are an opportunity for Canada to act as a good faith partner and address implementation issues like insufficient funding for self-government. During the implementation process, there are times when the Crown and modern treaty organizations disagree. If the disagreement is significant enough, it may be referred to a dispute resolution mechanism. These mechanisms, such as good faith negotiation, mediation, and arbitration, vary significantly between treaties. If dispute mechanisms do not resolve the matter, Indigenous organizations may use the courts. The James Bay and Northern Quebec Agreement and the Nunavut Agreement are just two examples where unresolved disputes ended up in court, and both cases led to improved dispute resolution processes. In 2015, the Government of Canada paid $255 million in an out-of-court settlement to end a 9-year legal dispute over unmet obligations in the Nunavut Agreement.
Relationship challenges exist everywhere, in every relationship, and modern treaties are no different. There are challenges in terms of implementing them, and I think a lot of it is interpretation, and as treaties are negotiated and entered into effect, people change, whether it's federal government officials, provincial or territorial officials, or modern treaty officials. Not everybody stays in the same position over many, many years that can be required to negotiate and implement a modern treaty. And part of that, that changing landscape is that views change, interpretations change, and modern treaties are often written in a way that is open to interpretation, and it allows for the evolution of society and how people evolve, but it also raises questions around how, what was meant, how things need to be implemented, and that is one of the challenges. And also another challenge sort of related to that is just in terms of awareness. And I think that's one of the biggest successes of the Modern Treaty Implementation Office is that we have raised awareness across the federal system in terms of modern treaties, what they are, what the obligations and what the responsibilities are of public servants federally. And I think that has made a lot of change in the system. It's slow, but it's taking place.
The nation-to-nation relationship between Canada and modern treaty organizations sometimes requires funding to flow directly between them. In some situations, funding that used to go to a province or territory is redirected to modern treaty organizations. This change is sometimes met with resistance from provinces and territories.
We have intergovernmental relations with the provinces, and there are always dialogues, and there are sometimes conflicts, but it's always important to keep the communications frank and honest and transparent. And for me, that's the key, whether it's a treaty negotiation or a tripartite negotiation or an intergovernmental discussion.
Until recently, federal policies that affected Indigenous people were written by federal bureaucrats with little to no consultation with Indigenous organizations. In 2016, the Government of Canada and self-governing modern treaty organizations began to develop the Collaborative Fiscal Policy Development Process, or the FISCAL process. This process aims to streamline federal policy development for self-governing modern treaty nations and other self-governing Indigenous groups, without compromising the nation-to-nation relationship each treaty requires. To date, there have been significant positive results, including repayment of treaty negotiation loans and improved funding of modern treaty governments.
Prior to 2015, work had been undertaken in kind of a traditional consultation method where policy people in the Government of Canada had sat down with various representatives of those who have modern treaties to have a discussion about making changes to the government's fiscal policy. We decided to launch a process that where we invited representatives from each of the self-governing Indigenous governments to sit down with us and to actually write the policy together. Now, as it turned out, there were a lot of skeptics to that. There were skeptics on the Indigenous side, just as there were skeptics within the government of Canada. I think at some point it was kind of remarked that I may have been the only person that actually believed we could do this. It took 2 years to build that policy in this way. We were kind of having a recipient to funder conversation, and we needed to change that. That it was really important that we actually think about having a conversation that was more reflective of the type of relationship that we wanted, but importantly, that needed to start showing up in the policy document we were trying to draft. I reiterated many times to people that this was a shared pen. We would not be the sole writers of this policy. Prior to that policy, a typical renegotiation to renew a fiscal agreement under a modern treaty would take anywhere from 2 to 3 years to upwards of 6 to 8 years. And I think the average is somewhere around 5 to 6 years. After we put this policy in place, 25 self-governing Indigenous governments had renewed their financial chapters, financial agreements with Canada in 6 months. Why is that? Because we built a policy together that actually met the needs of Indigenous governments, because it was a policy that was built on the premise of understanding those needs. And that is a far different approach than we had been able to take prior.
The collaborative fiscal process is not perfect, but it is a step in the right direction for policy development between the Government of Canada and self-governing modern treaty organizations. From the decades of negotiation to the ongoing implementation of modern treaties, there is no end date to the relationship between the Government of Canada and modern treaty organizations. For Canadians, it's important to remember that the Government of Canada negotiates and implements these treaties for all of us. We are all treaty people.
We are only going to be able to strengthen our country if we can overcome this legacy. That the future of Canada, the future of our society, the values that we hold dear to our hearts will only be lived in real experience and for everyone who is in Canada if we can get this relationship fixed and if we can address the legacy associated with colonialism.
So I've been asked, what is the most frequent misconception about treaties that I run into? I think it would have to be that these are documents for Indigenous peoples. They're not. They're about how we'll live together. Here's an interesting test. Go and take a look at your provincial or territorial land title certificate forms online, or maybe you have one of your own. You'll notice that it starts with a crown grant almost everywhere across this country. Ask yourself, where does it say how that land got into the crown's hand in the first place, so that it could pass down through everybody whose hands it had been through until it got to yours? If that's not something that you've ever thought about before, understand that for many Indigenous peoples in this country, that is a core conversation that has gone on for over 400 years. That is why I think it's important that we understand that treaties are for all people in this country.